That's a true song. The battle isn't ours, it's the Lord's, isn't it? And so, don't you suppose that if it belongs to Him, that He's going to do what it takes to make certain that it's won? So we're part of we're fighting in the battle. And I think about the song that we sing sometimes that says, He fought the battle through and gives to us the victory. So, in essence, we are given the victory if we just hold on to the end. It doesn't matter how fierce the fight seems like it is right now, and it seems like the enemy is getting the best of us and the best of the situation. You just hold on, because at the end, you're going to win. The only thing that's required is for you to hold on. Keep holding on. And so I want to encourage you that way, whatever battle, and I know we're all probably going through some battles, we're going through some things that are maybe difficult for us. Just hold on. The Lord's going to see you through. The battle isn't yours. The odds were against little David, weren't they? It was no way that this little boy could go against these giants. And sometimes there's no way that it seems like, from the natural standpoint, that we could go against the things that are coming our way. But you know what he did? He had a simple stone is what brought him down. And you know what? It's something he used all the time. And you know, the basic thing is simple prayer, that we just, a simple faith in God is going to see us through these battles that we're facing as well. We'd like for you to turn with us to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And I want to begin reading at the 8th verse. Well, no. I want to start at the 1st verse. Let's see. Yeah, let's just start at the 1st verse. I want to title this, So Send I You. So let's start at the 1st verse of 6th chapter of Isaiah. Pray for us.
Here the king Uzziah died. I saw the Lord. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up.
Okay.
His train filled the temple.
His train filled the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it
stood the seraphims.
Each one had six wings.
With twain
he covered his face.
With twain
he covered his feet.
Twain
he did fly.
One cried
unto another and said,
Holy,
holy, holy,
holy
is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Then said I,
Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away,
and thy sin is purged.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, Lord, send me. Now, I want us to think about this for a moment. Here is the year that King Uzziah died. He saw this, Isaiah here saw a vision. And he's saying, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that not only when we see the Lord in the perspective that we need to see the Lord, we can see ourselves too. He said, Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And so he realized and understood that he had a need, first of all. And one of the things that I want us to understand, I believe the Scripture and the Lord wants us to understand today, all of us have needs. All of us need the Lord to do something, the Lord to give us some level of purification, something that we can see ourselves for how the Lord sees us in some way. I don't know that we can handle it all together if we saw ourselves just like the Lord sees us, but I believe the Lord loves us. And that love that God has for us, it covers a multitude of our faults and whatnot. But here is this man, he sees that he has a need. And not only does he see that he has a need, that's of course the most important thing. When we see our need and we say, Lord, I need you to do something about what's wrong with me. And when we have allowed the Lord to do something about what's wrong with us, then we can see also our brothers and see that there is a need, and we're more open to be able to help them because we realize that they're in the same position that we were in at one time. So the Lord is saying to the prophet here, he's saying, who's going to go for us? Who shall I send? Who's going to go for us? And he says, Lord, I'm available and I'm willing and I'll go for you if you'll send me. So he said, here am I, Lord, send me. And what I believe the Lord wants us to understand is that the Lord has a place for every one of us. His desire is to send every one of us to some place that nobody else can feel but you. The Lord saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a reason. And the purpose and the place that the Lord wants you to go out into the world and preach the gospel, do you know that that's your responsibility? It's my responsibility as well. It doesn't matter if you got saved yesterday, and it doesn't matter if you got saved 50 years ago. What the Lord wants, first of all, is for you to realize and understand that at one time, and probably still, we have needs in our own lives. That we need God, the grace of God. We need God to cover us. We need God to deliver us from ourselves sometime, don't we? He delivered us from sin, but do you know that there is a continual process that the Lord works on us? This is what the sister was talking about today, that the Lord shows her things about herself. He shows me things about myself. He shows things about you, things about yourself that doesn't come up to muster, so to speak. And he said, I want you to be more like me. And so what he does, he begins to send trials and testings your way to make the adjustments in your life for you to be more of what God wants you to be. So here, why do you have the trials? Why do you have the problems? Why are you going through the things that you're going through right now? Why are those difficulties coming your way? What we need to do is to ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. Woe is me. I see myself. I see myself because I've seen you. I see this greatness of God, and I see myself in the light of the greatness of God. And if I'm to be like you, Lord, there's still some work that you need to do on me. So the Lord works on you. And how does he do that? He sends trials, he sends tests, he sends afflictions, he sends problems your way. Don't push him away. Don't let the devil tell you, why am I having to go through this? And it's not fair. The Lord is allowing you to go through it because he's making you more like himself. And let me tell you, as we go through this and we submit to these things, and the Lord gets to chipping off the rough edges and sanding and smoothing, it is a painful experience. We've all been through that painful experience. We're all going through that painful experience. But let me tell you, when he's finished with you, you come forth as pure gold. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to be more like the Lord. So what does he do? He says, I've got to get you ready first. What did he do to the prophet here? He says, I've got to get you ready before you even prepare to go out. So the first thing he did, he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So what did he do? The seraphim took the coals from off the altar, and he lays them on his lips, and he purges them. In essence, this is a type of purging. One of the things, what the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. How many times have our lips gotten us in trouble? How many times do we have to, in order for us things to go worse, how many times have we had to put our hand over our mouth and just say, don't say nothing? Do you know what the Lord wants? I don't believe those coals just, I think this is representative. I don't think it just went there on his lips. I think it went all the way down, that what comes out of his lips is going to be sanctified by the Holy Ghost and the fire of the Lord. And so in the same way, what we have to do is allow these things that the Lord allowed to happen to our lives, we have to allow them to go not just on the surface, but all the way down and to deal with us on the very inside. And once they purge here, then the lips are clean as well. We don't say things that we shouldn't say. We don't do things that we shouldn't do. The Lord has helped us, and so we've seen ourselves, we've seen those that we have to minister to as well. All right, now let's go to Mark 16, and let's start at the 15th verse. Let's start at the 14th verse, Mark 16, verse 14. He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Yes, this is it. Yes. He upbraideth them for their unbelief, hardness of heart, because they believe not them which has seen him after he had risen.
And he said unto them,
do you believe those that have seen him after he's risen? We have a first-hand account of those that have seen the Lord after he's arisen. And not only that, but we have first-hand accounts of individuals that have experienced him after he's risen. We ourselves, by the grace of God, when the Lord saves us, we are experiencing the risen Christ. We are experiencing that it's not us, we've been crucified with the Lord, but yet we live, yet not I, it's Christ that lives in us. There is a power of the resurrected life of Christ that continues to live through us by the grace of God. All right, read. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he's sending his disciples out. He said, first of all, you should have believed. He upbraided them for not believing those that had seen him after he had risen. And you know what? I'm not making excuse for the disciples and all, but I wonder if we had been in the same place that they were in, would we have believed? Would we have had said like, Tom, you know what? I'm not going to believe until I see the nail prints in his hand, and I put my hand in his side where the spear was. I'm not going to believe it until then. And it was some place he said that they didn't believe for joy. It's like we're in situations sometimes where we know it's true. We know that it's right. And we say, you know, I just can't believe it. There are some things that almost go beyond our ability to believe. And this is one of those that the disciples were in. So Jesus says, here you are. Here I am. Right here. You can touch me. You can feel me. And I'm going to break you because you should have heard what those that saw me when I was arisen, you should have believed what they said. All right, read. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, for they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So he says, go into all the world. That's our job, isn't it? Our job, first of all, is as we have experienced this Christ, this risen Christ, as we have made, the change has been made in my life, in your life, that the things that I used to do, the sins that I used to commit, the lies that I used to tell, the things that I used to do, I don't do them anymore because there is a power in me that enables me to live a victorious life. This is what has been testified about today. So we realize, Lord, I have to go out into all the world and I preach what? The good news. It doesn't mean that I have to know everything about this Bible. It doesn't mean that I have to understand all the doctrines. What it means simply is that the Lord has sent me to testify what he has done for me. And that is to anybody that I come in contact with. First of all, I live the life. If you don't live the life, be quiet. Don't tell anybody about the Lord if you don't live the life. There are so many people that don't live the life that the Lord is requiring them to live, but they can tell you how to live it. Lord, help us. They know how it's supposed to be lived, but I don't want to hear those folks. I don't want them preaching to me. I don't want them testifying to me. If you're not living it, I don't want to hear it. Lord, help us. Now, that's me. Because there's something hypocritical about it. It's something that doesn't ring true. But you know, when there is somebody with a clean life that's living right, there is something simple. It may not be that they can explain it like the preacher can explain it, or they can explain it like the evangelist, or like even the Sunday school teacher. But all you're saying is, listen, the gospel is, the good news for me is, the things that I used to do, the things that I was forced to do, I don't have to do them anymore. There's true freedom in that. There's true liberty that the Lord has set me free from myself. It doesn't mean that I don't fight the devil. It just means that now he doesn't win. We were wrestling back and forth, and sometimes he was on top and sometimes I was on top. But now when I'm saved by the grace of God, the good news, this gospel message that I go into all the world, wherever I go, I'm preaching this message that the Lord is able to deliver me. And I am never a victim. I'm always a victor by the grace of God. Always. You don't have to lose. You don't have to be defeated by the devil. You don't have to go back into sin. You don't have to do the things that Brother Darrell, you don't understand. It's so hard. I know how hard it was. I was out there too. Maybe not as deep as you, but I was out there, and I know what it's like to come home. There's no place like home. In a natural sense, I love home. And in a spiritual sense, I love it even more. I want to stay here. Saints, I don't want to go out there. The brother in Sunday school, he said, you know, I think that sin makes you stupid. Anybody argue with that? I want you to give up and give me a good argument that is not. To know that the Lord is going to come and you don't know when and you're still out there, you don't think straight. There's something that the enemy takes your thought process and he twists it. And he makes it, rests it, and he abuses you while you're out there. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is I don't have to do that anymore. And the good news to the saints of God, you that are saved, the Lord has sent you out into the world to preach that message. And that message is to every person, every boy, every girl, every woman, every man. That message is the same, that the grace of God is sufficient for you and you don't have to live in sin. You don't have to do it. That's the gospel message. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now we say this, and you've heard me say it many times, it's not our responsibility to convert people. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's our responsibility to preach the Bible. And when you know what, one thing that turns people off, and rightly so, I don't blame them, but to see somebody that you know is not living right get up and try to represent the message of Christ, and you know what the preacher is doing on Saturday night. And you know what the folks in the car, you were out there with them. There's something that, you know, people are just getting turned off of religion because they know people are not living right. Saints, we can't allow that to ever intrude on us, can we? Lord, help us to live right when the doors are closed, when nobody sees us but me, when nobody knows but my family. If your family can't testify that you are a man or woman of God, there is something wrong with your testimony. And I'm not talking about cutting corners and, well, I won't say nothing about how you live and if you don't say nothing about how I'm living. That's not what I'm talking about. When you put it up against what the Bible is saying, if they can't honestly testify, now I know sometimes you're going to have people that are just wanting to give you a hard time. And they're wanting to nitpick and they're wanting to find all little bitty things about you. Well, you didn't say this right. You were this. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, they know that you're living a righteous and a holy life. And they know that their Spirit of God is in you. If they can't testify, then you need to pray. You need to ask the Lord to have mercy on you and help you. Y'all saying amen to that? Amen. See, I don't know how you live at home. You know how you live. I know how I live at home. My children know how I live at home. When the doors are closed, my wife knows how I live at home. If they, and let me tell you something. I honestly believe, knowing the wife that I have at 28 years, if I wasn't living right, she wouldn't stand me being up here. She'd say something. She's not one of them. Am I right? I know that. So may the Lord help us. All right, let's go a little further here. Luke 24, 47. I want to talk about, well, I've already said it, but this just kind of reiterates it. Luke 24, 47. What are we going to be praying about? What are we going to be preaching about? Preach the gospel. What's the gospel message? All right, that remission, that repentance. What does repentance mean? What does it mean? Help me out. Confession. What else? Asking for forgiveness. Committing that you're wrong. That anybody here haven't done wrong before. Well, Lord, I'm a pretty good fella. I ain't doing a whole lot of things. I don't need to repent of no sins. It also means that you're going to turn around and you ain't going to go back to them. There is this godly sorrow that I have in my heart. I don't want to sin against you, Lord. I don't like sin. I found out that I didn't like it. I found out that what it tried to do is control me, and I didn't like this control that it had over me. So I said, Lord, I don't want to do it anymore. And so, Lord, if you'll deliver me and you'll free me from this thing, I won't ever go, I promise you, I'll never go back to it. So I repented. And I turned around. I did a 180, not a 360. Right? I'm going in a different direction. I'm doing exactly, Lord, like you would have me to do. So now I'm preaching repentance. So when you go to your folks and they say, once saved, always saved, you say, no, that's not true. You preach repentance and remission of sin. That I've repented. In essence, what I've done, I'm literally, what confession does, it acknowledges, you see how woe is you. You see yourself. And this is why, one of the things that we have to do, and this is why I believe the Lord says in the Word that if we confess with our lips and we believe in our heart and we turn from our sin, then He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that there is something about us taking what's on the inside and in essence, if you're going to allow me, putting it in our hand and laying it on an altar and saying, Lord, these are all the things that I've done. This is all the sins that I've committed in my heart, my thoughts, the lies, the stealing, all these things. I am confessing them. I'm taking them outside of me and I'm laying them on an altar and I want you, I'm sacrificing them all to you, Lord. I've got them outside of myself. And then what happens is the Holy Spirit comes down and it consumes those things. And it says, I'm destroying them. They're out of your life. They're not a part of your life anymore. And now you have the freedom to continue to live for me in the way that you would desire. In the way I would desire, the Lord says. But if we hide our sins, if we decide in our minds that, you know what, I'm not such a bad fellow and you know what, I want the grace of God, but I still kind of want to do the things. That's not repentance. That's not true repentance. And so what should be preached, what we go, what He's sending us to preach is true repentance. And this, what makes it real to our brothers and our sisters and those that we preach to is that it was first real to us. There is something about when somebody has gone through something themselves. They have a way of explaining it and expressing it that you know from the depths of your heart that they understand what you're going through or whatever it is that you're dealing with. And you can take somebody that has never gone through it and they can use the exact same words and it doesn't have the same meaning. You understand what I'm saying? We've all been in situations like that. Somebody's never lost their mother. Don't completely understand somebody that has. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes you don't want somebody, the Lord is going to be there with you. The grace of God. You don't want to hear that. Sometimes all you want to hear is somebody that says, you know what, I'm praying for you. And I understand you. And from that, from those few words, you understand there is a connection that is made that you understand that they understand. They know and you know that they know. And they know that you know that they know. And that is more comforting than anything that anybody can say 100, 500, 1,000 words. Maybe there's just a look. And maybe in the situations also when the Lord requires us to go out and preach this gospel message. And I say this to people from time to time. You don't know what the folks, these good little clean saints have been through. You'd be shocked. We stood up and explained what God delivered. I want you to explain what God delivered you from. We couldn't do it. We can't do it. But in a setting where it's one-on-one, where the Lord puts you in front of somebody else that's going through the same kind of things that you're going through, and you say a few words of how God has helped you through them, and they know that you know that there's a connection that's been made. That there's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That He can deliver you just like He delivered me. He can do that. He's able. That He can deliver you just like He delivered me. And that's the preaching the gospel message. Lord, I don't know why He set it up like this, but He set it up like that and it works really well. It works. All right, so keep reading, please. What did it say? Repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in His name. Who? Among all nations. Does that mean that you are going to have to go someplace across the ocean You know, it's exotic and it seems exciting when you hear of somebody that's going on a mission trip someplace and, oh, I wish I could go. But you know what? Your mission trip may not be across the sea. You know what? If you want to deal with somebody from a foreign country, there are probably represented right here in the Dallas, Texas area, somebody from almost every country in the world is here. Just pray and say, Lord, help me. I want to talk to somebody from, and you put Malaysia, China, Japan, wherever it may be. And you know what? I believe the Lord will put you into contact with them. And who knows? You talking to that one person, and you don't know what seed you're planting. He says, go into all the world. So you talk to this little woman that sitting by you on the airplane or sitting by you in the airport. And the Lord said, Lord, give me the words to say. And this woman is flying somewhere. And you maybe give them a track or whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And then this woman happens to know somebody else who knows somebody else. And they take this and they begin. And the Lord uses the seed that you planted to reach thousands of people that you'll never know about. And all you talk to is one person. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when we are faithful to the Lord, we don't understand and know fully how the Lord uses our words, but they won't return into him void? All right? Saints, go. Go. Do something. Do something for the Lord. It may not be something great that you know about, but I'm certain that when we get to heaven, then the Lord, we see how many people are saved as a result of me. Let's just say that. Well, Brother Darrell, you're a pastor. No, let's go to somebody that, like we say, somebody that's sitting by a little somebody at the airport, or somebody that maybe sent an email to somebody, and that person, well, you know what? You started, you planted the seed, this person took it here, and this person took it there, and then this person was the one that the Lord was trying to get to ultimately, so that person has the influence to go to thousands. And so now, as a result of you talking to one people, thousands and thousands and thousands are saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Is that impossible? Is it realistic? Am I saying it be? Am I going beyond what is actually, Brother Darrell? That's the theoretical, and it's not practical. Am I going beyond practicality? Go into all the world. You preach the gospel to every creature. And what does it say? That the remission, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. You know what? Most people want their sins remitted. They want them wiped away. I don't care how long. You're enjoying sin. Most people, there's a season of enjoyment. But then there's three seasons that are not very enjoyable. All right? Okay. You still with me? All right. Luke 10, 1. 1 and 2. Lord appointed other 70 also. He sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among, oh Lord, we're in a hostile environment. It's hostile out there. Lambs among wolves. And what is a lamb among a wolf? You get enough wolves together, that lamb is going down. But you know what? That lamb is also, he gives us the power of a lion. Our meekness, our submission before the Lord. And we stand close to the shepherd. There's no way that the wolves can get us. But he says he's sending us. He's sending us out there. He's sending us out in some places that would be uncomfortable, wouldn't it? You reckon a lamb would be pretty comfortable going out among wolves? Wolves, not wolf. Not a wolf. Wolves. You suppose a lamb would be pretty comfortable and that would be his comfort zone? Now, what would a lamb do if he's got a shepherd? and he's being sent out among prey. What would he do? Well, I know what I'd do if I was a lamb. I would stay so close to that shepherd, he'd be tripping over me. He would not be able to outrun me. He would not be able to do it, even though he wouldn't try, but he wouldn't be able to do it if he did try. So what does that teach us? What is he teaching us? What is the principle here? The principle is the Lord's going to get you out of your comfort zone, out of the places that you feel are very comfortable. He's going to take you out of that. He's going to put you in some environments that are hostile environments, where the enemy, he's ravenous, and he's doing all that he can to destroy you. And what is your job? Your job is to stay close to the shepherd. The shepherd is not going to allow the wolves to get you. There's this comfort that I have, even though I'm out of my comfort zone, even though I'm not in a position to be to where I'm completely free and able to do whatever, but I know, I realize my comfort is in the fact that my shepherd is right here with me, and he's not going to let anything happen. It's got to go through him. That wolf got to kill him before it ever gets to me. He'll give his life for me. He's already done it. So therefore, I can be uncomfortable in these situations. In order for us to go out into the world and preach the gospel, we're going to have to get uncomfortable about some things. I believe that this is the principle here. Lord, help us. That we know how to do it and know how. Now, this is not. Now, what it teaches us here also is not that we go running ahead of our shepherd. We don't do that, do we? Lord, help us. Okay. So, he says, I'm sending you. So send I you. This is what the Lord is doing to every one of us. I'm sending you. Harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Not a lot of folks that are willing to do manual labor. We were in California the other day. One of the things that we passed by was folks that were doing manual labor. They still got to pick the grapes. Somebody's got to touch them. Somebody's got to cut them off the vine in the hot sun in California or wherever it is, down in South Texas. Somebody still has to do it. Not all the machinery is able to make short work of things. Sometimes it just has got to be people. And do you know, in the same way, spiritually speaking, it's just not going to be getting a website together and going out on the, what's that TV? Trinity Network or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. TBN. No, you're going to have to touch people. You're going to get down and get dirty where the people are. Lord, help us. All right? Go another place. Acts 8 and 26. I'm going to try to bring this to an end quickly. 8 and 26. Okay, so the angel of the Lord is speaking and he's sending Philip somewhere. Do you suppose Philip knows where he's going? You know, do you suppose Philip knows why he's going there? No. But the Lord is sending him there, all right? And he arose and he was just obedient. So one of the requirements of us doing what the Lord would is obedience. When the Lord says, who shall I send? He says, Lord, I'm here. One of the requirements is obedience, isn't it? So he went up, he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, and the Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself into this chariot. Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. Place of the scripture, yes. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what we preach, isn't it? The remission of sin. We preach Jesus. That was the whole purpose of Jesus coming down on this earth, is for the repentance and the remission of sin. I believe in one sense that God maybe had a conversation like the prophets, like with the prophet, and he said, somebody needs to go down there and help these folks. Who can go? So he searched heaven. He searched earth. There was no one. And then Jesus stepped forward and says, here am I. Send me. I'll go. But you got to die. I know. I'm willing to do that for this creation. I'm willing to do, isn't that wonderful? Why wouldn't you want to serve him? Why wouldn't you want to serve him? There's nothing better. Have you found something better? I haven't. All right. Now let's say, now here what we're talking about. The Lord is sending this person, sending Philip here, and he says, go a certain place, and the Lord send him there. And sometimes, have you ever been done something, and you know, I don't know why I'm doing this. Have you ever done that? And the Lord has a purpose in you going in that direction. So here's a man under great authority, under the queen, Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, of all of Ethiopia, and this man has a desire, but he doesn't quite understand the scripture. This man, you might say, was saved to the level of his understanding, but he needed the scripture expounded to him in a great... He had a desire for salvation. And so Philip has to go down in obedience to what the Lord tells him to do. The Lord sends him there to talk to this man. This man gets in a chariot, and he goes to Ethiopia, and he takes the gospel message there. And so what Philip explained to him, the Holy Ghost opened, and I'm sure Philip told him how to go about praying, how to go about seeking the Lord, how to go about reading the scriptures, all these things. This man with this great authority goes there, and he begins, don't you suppose he has a lot of influence with a whole lot of people? And one man, Philip. I believe when Philip gets to heaven, he's there. And now the Lord shows him that all these folks here, they're saved because you went down and talked to that one man in that chariot. You obeyed me, and you went and talked to that man in the chariot, and he went back and he talked to several other people, and then they got saved, and they started a little congregation, and that congregation blossomed into 10 congregations, and that 10 blossomed into 100 saints. We don't know what the Lord is doing. The Lord hadn't lost control. He's still in control of this. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. All right. I'm not going to get all the way through this with time, but I'm going to read a couple other scriptures. Let's go to the 14th chapter of Luke and start at the 16th verse. Yes.
A certain man made a great supper.
Say to them that were bidden to come.
For all things are now ready.
They began to make excuse. I bought a piece of ground.
I must need go and see it.
I pray thee, have me excused.
I found five yoke of oxen.
I go to prove them.
Have me excused.
Another said, I have bought five yoke. Oh, another said, I have married a wife. I'm sorry.
Therefore, I cannot come.
Servant came, showed his Lord these things. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets. Now you see, going to all the world, you can't go across the waters, but you can go across the road. Going to all the world, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind.
The
servant said, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways, hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Do you know what? That's what the Lord is saying to us. Get those that are hurting. There are a lot of folks that know about the Lord. And they've chosen to, I use the word redefine what it really means to be saved. You don't have to do all that to be saved. Well, how do you know what you got to do? You haven't gotten to heaven yet. And you know, I think of it like this. We just had the Olympics. Y'all have heard me say this before. And suppose the ones that did the gold medals, got the gold medals, do you suppose that they just did what? Just the minimum?
No.
They just barely got by. Well, you can do that. Ain't nothing wrong with you eating a big piece of chocolate cake, birthday cake and some ice cream. What are you supposed to do? No, I'm not going to eat that.
Why? Because it's not in the best interest of my body and me to get that gold medal. Is anything, would they say anything? If you had all of the gold medalists here and you knew all the things that they didn't do and could have done, that's really nothing wrong with it. What would you say about that? You would say, well, they're doing it to obtain a corruptible crown. They're doing it to obtain, and we would understand. Then why don't you understand when we say, I'm not doing that? I know I can do it. I can get by with that, but I'm not going to do it because I want to make certain, as the brother said, I want to make certain that I don't just barely make it into the gates of heaven. I want them to clang back after I've gone about halfway down the streets of gold, and then they're clanging back behind me, not clanging back right before I get there, or barely clipping my heels as I just barely make. I don't want to barely make it. I want to make it with some room to spare. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? And I believe you can too. This is what the gospel message is all about. I don't have to go dragging into heaven. Oh, Lord, I'm having to not do this, and I wish I could do it. I'm looking back like Lot's wife, back to the things that I used to do. Lord, help us. I don't want to do that. All right. So what do? People who live in the streets, their hygiene isn't so good, is it? We can't be, ooh. We got to go out there. Those are the ones that need it. We're sitting here and we're praying and crying and begging over folks that are making excuses for not living the way they know God would have them to live. Lord, help us to go. He has sent us there. Now, last scripture, John 20, 21 is actually the text. John 20 and 21. Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As my Father has sent me, this is what Jesus is saying to you and to me. He sent me on this world and on this earth to redeem your soul. And there is no way that it would have happened had I, Jesus is saying, not done it. And do you suppose that there is, in some ways, that there may be lax because of we're not going and doing what the Lord would have us to do? He said, as God has sent me, so send I you. Let us be obedient to go and to do whatever it is that the Lord is desiring and requiring of us. That's my desire. I want to be used by the Lord.